you for all the effort that she's put into this morning. I pray that you will speak through her and that your words will come through clearly in what she has to say. I pray that you'll give her just clarity as she thinks and speaks up here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I think I've had a text message from Jill. Someone needs to record it. Is this recording it? Oh, is it already? Okay. It's what? Oh. Okay. So I know that Jill spoke on Sabbath last week. So who was here? Was anybody here? We weren't here. So I know that some of the themes might be sort of repeated, but hopefully you'll get some new little things from what I've got to share today. So Sabbath, I am talking to you this morning from someone who is busy, okay? So just to say that when I hear the word Sabbath, I think, oh my goodness, God, I can't do a day off. I've got too much to do. And then I go into my day off and then I just think about all the things I'm not doing that I have to do tomorrow. So I'm somebody who's very much, I've been on a journey to learn about what Sabbath means, because I don't think God just meant it to be just a day off where you get stressed about the things you've got to do next week. And to show that, this is what I've been reading this year, okay? These are the themes on my bedside table. It's all very Sabbath-y, really. Having a merry heart in a Martha world, stay, and most recently this book called The Rest of God. So when the topic came up, Sabbath, and it was literally in a leadership meeting, and we just went, oh, we've got another week, and it needs to be on Sabbath. Who's going to do it? And I was like, it's going to be me, God. I'm going to do it. So I just wanted to start with, let's just pray, because I do really want you to know that I am speaking as someone who's journeying what it means to have Sabbath. Not just to have a Sabbath day, but what it means to have Sabbath attitude in all that we do in life. So let's just pause, and I'm just going to pray. Father, I just hope that as I speak today, through some of the things that you've taught me, that other people here can be encouraged and refreshed on their journeys. That even this talk could be like a Sabbath space, a Sabbath moment, where, just like Tom said, we are relaxed in your presence. Jesus, speak through me today. In your name. Amen. Okay. So in terms of the PowerPoint, don't think this is working. So I'll just tell... Oh. Okay. Okay. So, as I said, I'm someone who's busy. So... It's not working. Yeah, go to the next one. Why do we need Sabbath? So we're living in a very Western culture, aren't we? So we're living in that state where, when we look around, I think the people who are, like, get status in life are the people who are busy, the people who are successful, the people who have got ambition or always adrenaline fired. The busy person is the person who we're like, oh my goodness, that person's just amazing at work, or that person just gets it nailed, gets it done. But the problem is, look what happens. Chronic stress. Did you know the British Safety Council has told us that there's 15.4 million working days are lost to stress each year? That's not just lost to just being poorly with the flu, although likely you've had the flu because you've been stressed beforehand and you run down. So this is a chronic problem in our society. I would suggest something about the way we're doing life is madness. It's just complete foolishness. So when I first went on this journey of Sabbath, one of the things that I did was I went on the quiet day back in, I think it was March, or the first one this year with Jill, and I did this little pebble, and on it, it's got Isaiah 30, verse 15, and that's going to be one of my verses this morning for you. Isaiah 30, verse 15, and the first bit is, in repentance and rest, in quietness and trust is your strength. So the first thing I want to say to you is, if you are on that treadmill, let's go for another picture. If you are on the treadmill, the first thing we need to do is we actually need to say sorry. Are you on this? Does it play? It's really cute.
The video, is it?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
If you just press down again. Yeah. That's me. Anybody else feel like that? Yeah, just like Monday, oh, and then another Monday, oh, and it just goes round and round and round and round and round and round and round. We're just constantly on this treadmill of life. So to start Sabbath, Sabbath begins with a sorry. Solomon, one of the most wisest people that renowned from the Bible, he was supposed to be wise. And in Proverbs, Proverbs 8, Proverbs 9, it talks about wisdom. Proverbs 9, verses 10 and 11. Please. Thank you. Should come up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Let me finish the verse. Your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. I'm going to turn around so I can actually see what's going on there. Okay, so this is what happens. Does anyone know what this is from? It's from The Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss. Okay, he's like trying to do everything that he, you know, everything, trying to hold everything up. If you go back a page, he tries to hold everything up. He's on the treadmill. He thinks he's amazing. The thing about The Cat in the Hat poem, he thinks he's amazing. He's like, look at me, I'm a genius. No, you're not. Next slide, crash and burn. We're fools to keep going without Sabbath. We end up wasting 15.4 million days a year just together. Aren't we mad? Aren't we stupid? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Humble yourself and repent. If you've been on that treadmill, it starts with a sorry. It starts with saying, Lord, I've got it wrong. I've lived in my own strength. I've crashed and I've burnt. Can you go back up? Okay. Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. So I suggest, let's just pause now, just for a moment. You know if you've been stubborn and like the cat in the hat. You know if you've been arrogant enough to think you can do it in your strength. And I say arrogant because I think that's what I was like. I can do this. I'm healthy. I'm intelligent. I can do this. I can do everything that is thrown at me. But perhaps sometimes it's about being insecure and thinking I just need to succeed. I don't want to fail. So I want us just to pause. Has that been you? Because I think Sabbath doesn't start with a Sunday, it starts with a sorry. Like Martha, we know the story about Martha from Luke 10. As they travelled along, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to his message. But Martha was the cat in the hat and distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. I totally and utterly resonate with that feeling. I know that Tom always says, oh, you just come in a room and you sigh. It's because I'm just thinking, oh, I've got so much to do. Oh, the kitchen's a mess. Oh, the bathroom is dirty. Oh, this, oh, that. I'm a Martha. I don't know if you resonate with it too. But what does Jesus say to Martha? He calls her to change. He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord replied, yes, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion and it won't be taken away from her. And that's where it ends. We don't know what Mary's response to Jesus was. I suggest the response should be a sorry. Sorry, God. I'm not you. I'm human. I can't do it. The second thing I've learned about Sabbath is, oh, there we go. There's a sorry picture.
There's the Proverbs verse. It's Isaiah 30. Thank you. This is the problem without clicking it. Okay, the next one is, I suggest that Sabbath is a start, not an end. So when I first started thinking about Sabbath, I thought, yeah, you do everything in the week, and then you have a day off to recuperate. I don't know if anyone else has sort of considered Sabbath, like, you know, the Sabbath day is your day of rest at the end. And we think about Genesis 2, and it says, God rested on the seventh day. He did. But do you know that actually in Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4, it says that he who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So actually God doesn't need to rest. So I was like, well, why is God taking a day off on the seventh day when he doesn't need it? What I propose is he was actually setting a precedent. He was pressing the reset button. Because what was God doing before creation? Any thoughts? What was God doing before creation? John 1, you can read these. I'm not going to go through them on the screen. John 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word. Colossians 1, 17. He is before all things. Proverbs 8 again states that it was before creation wisdom was formed. Before creation, God was being. God was enjoying his own greatness, his own goodness. God was fully in community with himself. He was simply being godly. So it started with a being. Then he does the work of creation, and then he bees again. Being, then working, being, and then working. So for God, that Sabbath day, I propose, is the day after the night before for him. He's chilling. But for us, it's the first day. So God's being, then working. Being, then working. For us, what did we have to do on the first day? Being. Join him in the being. And then we go into the working. It's like when you're filling your car up. You're an absolute idiot if you get in your car when it's empty and you drive and you think you can drive a whole day and get to the other end, because it's not going to work. You fill your car first and then you drive. It's a simple concept, but I think sometimes we get it the wrong way around. We assume we can drive and then fill. Oh, drive and then fill. It's fill, then drive. Fill, then drive. He was role modelling to us that precedent. Because man does not live by bread alone. So, I suggest, what are you starting your day with? What do you start your week with? What do you start your hour with? What do you start your emails with? What do you start cleaning the kitchen with? Panic? Making your own list? Texting someone, having a coffee, turning the news on, eating, exercising, or just plain worrying? What do you start with? What are you filling yourself up with? Because Jesus, in Luke 5:16, he withdrew to lonely places and prayed frequently. He knew it was being, then working. Being, then working. You fuel up, you reset to energize. You don't keep going and crash and burn. I think Jesus role modeled to us that first day, not the seventh day, the first day principle. He started everything from being with his Father. So the verse we saw before was, thank you. Jesus came from the Father. He was being. He entered the world. He did what he needed to do. And then he went back to the Father. He was role modelling to us. The third lesson I have. Sorry, Tom, I know you're kind of like jumping around. Is that Sabbath isn't just about switching off. Sabbath requires action. So if you want to have peace, you can't just expect a whole load of peace to come to you. You've actually got to go and get it yourself. So, when I used to hear the word Sabbath, I used to think the Sabbath day, like a noun, like it was something I had to go and get. I'm going to do a little bit of grammar now. In Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary, take my yoke. In Psalm 46, be still and know. These are doing things. The commands are verbs. We're commanded to take an action on our part. God doesn't stop for us. We have to be decisive. We have to be proactive. We could wait for our absolute idol and our absolute dream location. So I've got a picture of what I would love. I absolutely love going walking on high. I also want to see a vista. That's what I need. I need a vista. And so I just think, oh, it's beautiful. And I think, oh, I can't possibly be at peace until I've seen a vista. I have to go on the hills. No. I mean, yes, you can have peace on the mountaintops or wherever your idol is. It might be, you know, just having a nice coffee in a little coffee shop, if that's your amazing place of peace. But it's not just about being there. It's not just waiting like an escapism. It's actually practicing it here and now. On the seventh day, God chose to stop. He chose to stop. This is what I think a guy called Brother Lawrence might look like now. Has anybody heard of a monk called Brother Lawrence? Yes. He was from the 17th century, and he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. I had to read it back in my studies, goodness knows how many years ago now. But what Lawrence had to do was his specialism was kitchen duties. He was a young monk when he started, and his specialism was kitchen duties. And he was like, oh yes, well, the presence of God is available to us at all times. But what he realised was, actually, humans, we are not available to God at all times. So he learned to practice the presence of God. Practice takes effort, takes energy on our part. He learned to turn his attention to the Father. Whether he was cooking or walking, in Vespers or alone in his room, Lawrence practiced. Now, when I hear the word practice, like my kids as well, when I say go practice your drums, oh, it's hard, it's effort. Yes, it is. Because you can't expect change if you keep doing the same things. If you're going to sit on your butt and be lazy, don't expect anything to change. Practice takes effort and commitment on our part. And that's what Lawrence realised, that if you want to enter into peace, Jesus says, come to me. So you go. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. So take it. The definition of insanity is to keep doing the same things and expect change. So that was a quote from Brother Lawrence. Sometimes you offer him sufferings, at other times you thank him for graces, past and present he has bestowed on you in the midst of your troubles, to take solace in him as often as you can. But lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One does not need to cry out very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think. Practice is a verb, it's a doing word. So be decisive. Somebody who was decisive. Have you ever seen the film called A Beautiful Mind? Russell Crowe was in the film. It's about a guy called John Nash, who was a mathematician, who also had schizophrenia. And he tried to take medication to sort of heal himself from schizophrenia, but it changed his personality as well. And he didn't like that. So he went without any medication, and he decided daily to ignore the distraction of the voices. That must have been so incredibly hard. He learnt to go through his day saying, no, I'm not going to get distracted. No, I'm not going to listen to you. No, I'm not going to listen to you. He cleared his mind. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, have the mind of Christ. Romans 12, 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4, verse 22, put away your old self and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what distracts you? I'm going to be honest, I get distracted with just the dishwasher. I get distracted by my writing of a list. I get distracted by the TV. I get distracted by the radio. I get distracted all day long. I'm the world's worst. At work, people like Sarah just sit your head down. I'm like, I can't, you're talking. I can't, someone's opened a door. I can't, I've heard the telephone go. I get distracted so quickly. But God says, no, train yourself and be disciplined. Don't expect change if you're going to sit on your butt and do nothing. Don't expect to have peace if you're not willing to decide and commit to go get it. Be disciplined in your mind because God has called us to be disciplined. Be decisive. So don't say you've got an excuse because you're busy. I'm telling you, I'm busy too. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And let's think about Charles Wesley's mum, a lady called Susanna. She had 19 children. Here's the next page. When Susanna was young, she promised the Lord that for every hour she spent in entertainment, I don't know what she thought entertainment would be, she would give to him in prayer and in the word. Taking care of the house and raising 19 children made this commitment nearly impossible to the full. She had no time for entertainment or for long hours in prayer. She worked the gardens, milked the cows, schooled the children, and managed the entire household herself. So she decided instead to give the Lord just a mere 2 hours a day in prayer. But she struggled to find a secret place to get away with him. So she advised her children that when they saw her, put her apron over her head. That meant she was in prayer and couldn't be disturbed. She was devoted to her work, her walk with Christ, praying for her children and knowledge in the word, no matter how hard life was. Commit against the distractions. Whatever it is that is your apron, you put it on. You find a quiet space. Jesus retired to the mountains to pray. Forget the life admin. Forget your phone. Forget the TV or your chores or your sports. Jesus took himself away regularly to pray. You don't get fit by waiting for exercise. You get fit by exercising. So if you want some Sabbath rest this morning, if you feel weary and burdened, stop waiting for something to change and change your pattern. Commit to draw closer to God. My friend, she didn't come to church. I was talking to her about I was going to do a talk on Sabbath, and she thought it was hilarious. She was like, Sarah, that's so ridiculous, you doing that talk. I was like, yes, I know. And she said, well, last weekend, I went to a theme park with the kids. I spent the whole day, and I was completely and utterly stressed to the max. It was supposed to be a nice day of entertainment and chilling out. Couldn't do it. I was really stressed by the end of it. The next day, I went to the allotment and I dug my veggies for 20 minutes and I came back so refreshed. She looks a bit like that. You need your 20 minutes, not your full day. You need to find what it is that's going to get you closer to God. If it's away from the distractions of home and digging your allotment, go and dig it. Spend your 20 minutes, spend longer. Do what you have to do to put your apron over your head and find time with God. Because if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. Next slide. The final thing is that I'd like to share is Sabbath, the Sabbath attitude is your weapon. Do you remember the Cat in the Hat? When we do it in our own strength, we are going to tumble and fall. In Isaiah 30, it's nothing new, God was saying to us, all you ignoring me and all that I'm telling you about Sabbath is just like a great big wall that's going to crumble and fall. Return to Sabbath, because in quietness and trust we are saved. There's salvation. One of the key verses in this is Exodus 14, verses 10 to 14. The Israelites are faced with the Red Sea. So they've escaped out of Egypt. They're feeling completely hunted. The Egyptians are bearing down on them. They're in an absolute mess. They're probably shouting at each other, just completely turmoil. And they're faced with a barrier, and they think, this is it, this is the end of us, this is it. And it says, as Pharaoh approached, these Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us here in the desert to die? What have you done to us to bring us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, oh, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been much better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Anyone felt like that? Moaning, my life is just horrendous. You don't understand. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The command is to stand still. It's like the opposite of what you'd expect. You'd expect, run for the hills. Oh yes, Egypt was better, let's go back. And God says, stand still. Take space for a Sabbath moment. Have a Sabbath attitude in the moment of battle, in the moment of fear. Because when you're frightened and hunted and worried about your circumstances, you only need to trust in your Father. The disciples also faced the storm in Mark 4. But Jesus knew this deep trust, didn't he? He knew. He was already practicing Sabbath all the time. And he turns to the disciples when they're faced with the storm. Why are you afraid? Oh, really? Why are you afraid? And Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. He asks the disciples to change their reaction to the storm, to be still and to know in quietness and stillness, in confidence and trust, that there is a God who can fight for you and who's bigger than the storm. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Who is God? Oh, can you go back to the picture? Thank you. Look at the names. That's just a tiny snippet. It's just what I found on the internet, a picture of the names of God. What battle are you facing in your life? Do you need Jehovah because God is a provider? Do you need the Prince of Peace because he is? Do you need a cornerstone because you feel uncertain? Do you need a daddy because he's Abba? Do you need the judge because you're facing unjust injustice? Do you need God to be with you because he is? He's Emmanuel. Be still and know. Be still and trust. Be still and be quiet in confidence of who God is. Because God is a mighty warrior to save you. Be still. All you have to do is stand firm. So I'll give you an example of this in my life. In the mid-2010, we returned to the UK from living in New Zealand. I'm sure my mum and dad will know this. We had a three-year-old and a one-year-old, a dog and a container full of possessions. But when we got back to the UK, there was no job. We were homeless. Tom was unemployed and on the dole for the next 14 months. We lived out of our suitcases and an old Audi A6 car. Oh, and the spare room at my parents. We went from the idyll, the amazing, like, beautiful scenario, okay? You think if you want to go somewhere for a lifestyle of peace and relaxation, you go to where we lived, to a time of storm and uncertainty. Things about during this time, Tom will have lots of other things he learned through this time, but for me, I wasn't the one who was applying for jobs. I could only stand still and wait. But I wasn't just standing still and being passive, no, because I had two kids to feed, get into school, and nurse when they're sick. They were growing up fast. Miriam started school during this time. So there's lots of things going on. So that image of being still, the reason I put it down is because when you stand still with your proper core muscles tight, you're active, you're not passive. If you just stand still like this in a queue for hours, you're going to hurt your back. If you stand straight, keep your posture straight, focus, pull your stomach in, keep your back straight, you're going to be able to stand the test of time because you're doing something. You're standing still strong. So I say that when God said to the Israelites, stand still, he didn't say, oh, stand still like, you know, just from whatever. Stand still. Come on, change your mindset. This is the start of the next season. This is your moment for peace. It's your weapon. So pull your stomach in, stand up straight, be ready. So decide to move towards God. Practice daily. Turn your attention to Christ in your storm. My season was to stand in the face of my Red Sea and let God fight for us. The Israelites had to stand. So, what are you standing against today? How can you face it with a Sabbath attitude? Because back to Brother Lawrence, he said, I cannot imagine how religious persons can live satisfied without the practice of the presence of God. For my part, I keep myself retired with him in the depth of the centre of my soul as much as I can. And while I am so with him, I fear nothing. Are you just expecting things to come to you? Are you expecting to have peace, but not doing anything for it yourself? Because it's there. Come to me, all who are weary, I will give you rest. Do something, commit to it. And then when you commit to it, yes, it's effort and hard. Habits take about 40 days to change in your life. It's not going to be easy. As I would say to Miriam, you're not going to be a drummer overnight. Get to your drum kit and start practicing. You're not going to get core muscles if you don't do the exercises to do it. Get your Bible out. Switch your phone off. Transform your mind and stop getting distracted. You enter into Sabbath rest. It's there. It's waiting for us. Because it's your weapon. I'm going to end with Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. And I chose that image because life is hard. We are in a battle. Sabbath attitude is your weapon. Sabbath should be your start, not your end, when you're crashed and burned. Sabbath takes action, decision and commitment. And say sorry if you haven't done it. humble yourself before God and say sorry. Some questions for us to think about. Maybe Pete can come up, and I'd like us to actually, if it's possible, can we sing Cornerstone? If we just take a couple moments now, just 30 seconds, just to look at the questions and reflect, and then maybe we can just end the song together. The questions are, do you need to repent? Is Jesus calling you Martha? Do you start with God? What fuels you? What can you do to transform your mind? Are you moving towards God? And what's your weapon? In what do you trust? Why are you afraid?